Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I'm a survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to the Friday Shooterette, your K-State basketball show, presented by Booth Creek Wagyu. Now let's go to the Flint Hills, home of GPC's Hidden Studio. Here's your host, Ryan Gilbert.
K-State's losing streak in Lawrence continues. The last time K-State won was back in 2006, a game in which Clint Stewart had a team-high 15 points, not to brag or anything, but Clint, my man, this is going to be maybe a little rough breaking down this loss. There were a few positives we can take away from it, but not a pretty one. 90-68, K-State loses on the road. Inside of Allen Fieldhouse, Clint, wasn't pretty. We'll break it down here in just a moment, but a quick message from our friends at Booth Creek Wagyu.
From the tailgate to the back deck, remember to elevate your grilling this season with our friends from Booth Creek Wagyu. Their ranch is located just north of Manhattan and proudly raises authentic Wagyu beef from farm to table. Visit their retail locations in Manhattan and Overland Park or online at boothcreekwagyu.com.
All right, Clint, what went wrong for Kansas State on Tuesday?
Oh, man. Well, it seemed like a plethora of things. You know, one, we didn't shoot the ball particularly well, especially we look at Kaluma Perry and Cam Carter. But not only that, you know, I thought defensively we had quite a bit of breakdowns, especially in transition where, you know, KU pushed the ball and got layups and dunks. And, you know, I didn't think we were really good defensively, which, you know, shows in giving up 90 points. So, you know, several different breakdowns, you know, we can't give up those transition points. You know, I think that that's really big. You know, we actually took care of the ball decently, you know, especially for us. So that is a positive there. You know, obviously we had some guys come off the bench and score the basketball and play really well. So that's a positive. But we need more from our, you know, our three biggest guys. And, you know, we got to play a lot better in the next one.
I don't know if you saw things in the same lens, but for me personally, I think this loss doesn't really fall on Tyler Perry. He only had 2 points, no field goals. He was 0-6 from the field. And so you look at that, you're thinking, okay, this is on TP, but KU was doing everything that it could to take him out of the game. And you look at what happened back in Bramlage, 26 points from Tyler Perry against the Jayhawks. And so Phil Self, I think, made it a priority to stop Tyler Perry. He was getting double teamed a lot. And so I think this loss falls on Cam Carter a lot more than maybe Arthur Kaluma to an extent as well. But I mean, I don't want to, like, we don't want to try to bash on Cam Carter, but he's in a slump right now. And it seems like it's something even deeper than a slump, and his body language is poor. And it just seems like off the court, maybe something's going on that's maybe a little bit, you know, sort of beyond basketball, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I agree. You know, I think he's had, you know, now it's quite several games in a row where he really hasn't played up to his potential in the way he was playing early on in the season, you know, and those are things that we obviously need him to find and get back to. And you know, it's a long season, and don't know quite sure what's going on in his mind, but, you know, a couple things that I think is pretty telling. You know, when you look at the game against KU, he didn't get to the free throw line at all, you know. And so it's one thing to go 1-for-7, but for him, you know, being aggressive and getting to the free throw line or causing havoc defensively, you know, to get out in transition, you know, those are the things that we're going to need him doing. So hopefully, you know, whatever's going on and then, you know, over the last, you know, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, you know, he can get back to doing some of the things he was doing early on and being really productive for us, because there's a stretch in the season where, I mean, he was our best player, you know, and he was playing really well, scoring the basketball. You know, I thought he was just so active, and, you know, we're going to need him playing well for us to get some wins here down the stretch.
I mean, I'm sure you've went through when you were playing, and I'm sure you're coaching guys now, like people go through slumps, you go through stretches where you're just not, you know, things that maybe aren't clicking. For whatever reason, I guess, how do you snap out of that? Is it just have a positive mentality, stay strong, and don't hang your head?
Yeah, you know, and it's easier said than done sometimes, you know, especially for players. And because it also can be a point where, you know, you're trying to snap out of it and you start kind of pushing a little too much, and it ends up making it even worse. And, you know, but you do, you just got to stay positive, you know, and you got to trust in yourself, trust in the work that you put in, trust in your game, continue to stay confident in it. And, you know, and each game is its own, it's a different opportunity, and you got to approach it like that and kind of forget about the last one and move on to the next. But, you know, you got to find the spots, and as well, it's up to the coaching staff and to the players to put him in spots or get him in spots where he can be productive again. And hopefully we can see that.
Jerome Tang, after the game, he usually is going to put blame on him, you know, him and his staff. But after this loss against Kansas, he was not pleased with his team's effort. Did you see the same thing from the Wildcats?
Yeah, you know, the effort, you know, and that's why I mentioned defensively, I didn't think was really good, especially in transition. You know, I just thought we weren't running back as hard as we needed to. There were a couple breakdowns that I thought were effort related. And, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, when you're playing in Allen Fieldhouse against KU, I mean, you need maximum effort, maximum attention to detail, you know, to be able to go win there. You know, we talked about, you know, we were getting 30 free throws a game the last few games. So we're not going to get 30 against KU. Well, they got 30, you know, we got 20, but they got 30, you know. And so, you know, you know, going into the game that that's what it's going to be. And so, you know, you would like to have seen that we had a better effort overall. And but, you know, KU as well, I mean, hats off to them. They're, you know, they're coming off a few losses. And I don't know how long it's been since they've lost two in a row at home, but I know it's been quite a long time. And so, you know, they were ready to play, and it's senior night, so they're pretty amped up about it as well.
In my film study that I do after every game, I break down, you know, 5, 10, 15 plays. And there were a few that I think really kind of revolved around effort. I think Hunter Dickinson grabbed a rebound, and it was a baseball pass over to the other end of the court, and Dwight Harris was the one that was first there to get it. Not saying K-State had poor effort or was lazy, but Kansas on that specific play had better effort. I think there was 2 minutes left. KJ Adams had the ball. He goes right by Arthur Kaluma, no help, and he gets an easy dunk. And so I think that's probably what Tang, especially later on in the game, was probably most frustrated about, was that his team kind of gave up. And obviously K-State's not going to win the game when you're down 20 with a few minutes left, but you want to show some, you know, some grit, some fight, some toughness, you know, have a little, I don't know what the right word is, maybe humility when you're down by so much and when you kind of just give up and let your opponent just do what they want to do. Because it turned into like a rec basketball game there at the end, Clint. KU was just having fun, senior night. And I think that's probably where the frustrating part was for Jerome Tang.
Yeah, well, and the play you talk about where Hunter Dickinson grabbed it and threw the outlet pass. I mean, we made him look like he was Kevin Love, and I can assure you he's not Kevin Love. Right? But, you know, it was obviously it was a nice play, you know, but that's one where the shot goes up. You know, we have to have one or two guys back. I don't know how it's designated. Typically, within a team, you know, you have either, you know, your point guard or maybe your off guard or both getting back. The other three guys are crashers, or you designate like certain players because you know they're not going to get an offensive rebound. So you might designate like Tyler Perry. Anytime you're on the court, you're a get back guy. Carter, when you're on the court, you're a crasher, you know, and so the guys should know. But obviously we didn't execute it in that sense. And, you know, to give up a full court pass, you know, to lay up and, you know, like I said, it was like Patrick Mahomes to, you know, Travis Kelce streaking down the sideline. And, you know, like that can't happen. So,
yeah. Jerome Tang, again, he was negative about this loss, right? He was asked about Will McNair, and we can touch on maybe a positive. Jerome Tang, deferred saying good things about McNair in the postgame press conference. He was quick to point out the fact that K-State had just two offensive rebounds. So he wasn't happy with his team. No doubt about that. But I went back and watched the game. Like I said, Will McNair, he really did have a good game. He was shooting it from the perimeter, 17 points and a double-double for Big Will.
Yeah, he played really well, and he played tough. And obviously, you know, he's going up against Hunter Dickinson, which is a big load to try to, you know, be physical with in the paint. But him stepping out and obviously making a three, going one for one, you know, that might be bonus. But 10 rebounds, you know, and so I think he you know, came in and did his job off the bench in 25 minutes, and that's a positive thing for him, you know. And part of that too, you know, maybe got a little bit going a little bit early because Colbert went down early, you know, with a slight injury before coming back in. But it was nice to see him. You know, I thought he, you know, he played up to and even past his potential, you know, in the basketball game, and we're going to need him to continue to play well. You know, I still think, and I've been saying it multiple times now, when he gets the ball in the paint, I mean, I don't know what he's shooting in the paint, but I believe it's a pretty high percentage. It might be in the 65, 70s because he scores it, and, you know, he has a really soft shot. So it's something that I think we can utilize here down the stretch.
What's your message to your team right now if you're Jerome Tang? You know, you're now 7-10 in the Big 12. You lose, you know, against your biggest rival on the road. You get embarrassed, and this tied for the worst loss in terms of margin of defeat, 22 points. It tied for the worst of Jerome Tang's career. Obviously, you're going to have to make a lot of noise if you want to have any postseason aspirations in Kansas City. But obviously, a win. We'll dive into Iowa State here later on in the second half. But what's your message right now to your team? Just to focus, lock back in, despite what the postseason hopes may be. But, you know, it's senior night coming up on Saturday. You know, you want fans to show up. You want to put a good product on the court.
Yeah, it's how much do you want it? You know, how much all the work that's been put in throughout the offseason and then obviously in the season, you know, how much do you want it? We have one game at home. It's senior night. You know, we have a choice on how we want to end the regular season. And that comes down to the players and then how they're going to play, how we're going to play at home against a really good opponent, a really good team. And so it's even more than desperation mode. It's, you know, I think we'll find out a lot about ourselves here at home and how we come out and how we play against Iowa State, which can obviously project, you know, what the postseason play might look like. You know, the good thing is, you know, after this game, when you get into the Big 12 tournament, everyone's 0-0, and when we have a chance to still control your own destiny. Now, it'll be really tough, you know, because you know you're going to have to win 2-3 or maybe even the championship to get in, but, you know, you still control that destiny. But, you know, senior night at home against a really good opponent, you know, it's you know, how do you want to go out, you know, at home last time playing in Manhattan for the season? And that comes down to the players and their attention to detail. So that's my message is, you know, show me what you got, how much do you want it, and give these fans something to cheer about.
Part of my job as a, you know, reporter, I always like to quote, I tweet out the quotes from the players in their press conferences. We had a chance to speak to the seniors that had a senior night on Thursday, and these guys believe. Tyler Perry mentioned how if you win against Iowa State, you win 2-3 games in Kansas City, you put the committee in a tough spot. Will McNair talked about how every year someone gets hot in March and is going to make a run and somehow get into the NCAA tournament, right? I tweet all that stuff out, and people are, you know, making fun of it. Oh, that's far-fetched. This team's done. They're toast. And so we don't have to get into that. But these guys, the point here, these guys believe. These guys still think that they can get hot and, you know, win a few games here. I mean, there's a lot of games that this team has played in Big 12 play where they've just been one or two plays away. So they might be a little closer than you might think. But, you know, there are some stuff holding the back, turnovers and stuff. But, Glenn, I'm rambling here. These guys, bottom line, these guys are still believing. They still are still buying in.
Well, and that's what you have to have as a player. And then that's a good sign from, as a coach that the players are still believing, because if they didn't believe, then it's why are we going out there to play the game, you know? And so, you know, it's good that they still believe. And then they obviously know that there's, you know, there's still an opportunity, you know, no matter how slim it might be, you know, there's an opportunity. And like I mentioned, we control our own destiny. And so, you know, we have to be locked in, you know, even more so these last few games, well, last game of the regular season and into the Big 12 tournament. But, and it's all on us, you know, and, you know, if we can go out there and we can win at home against Iowa State and then, you know, get into the Big 12 tournament, like I mentioned, win 2-3 or maybe, you know, win the championship. Obviously, you're automatically in if you win the Big 12 championship. But, you know, we still control that destiny. And then until that, you know, it's, until the light is shut off, you know, there's still a dim light, go for it, you know? And so, you know, if there's a dim light, you never know, you might be able to get it back bright again. And so why not go for it? You'll never know if you don't go for it, right? And if you don't go for it, you know, like it's over, right? But if you go for it, you'd much rather give yourself an opportunity. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, you know, you gave everything you had for that opportunity.
Real quick here, before we go to break, Clint, I feel like we got to touch on this one just a little bit. 11 turnovers against Kansas. That could be a nice segue into the Cincinnati loss, though. It feels like it was forever ago, all the way back on Saturday. Just your takeaways. That one was a tough one for Kansas State, one that they really did need to have. Jerome Tang said that one was like an NCAA tournament game. So do you think that Cincinnati loss might have lingered into KU, but also just your thoughts and takeaways, if you can remember all the way back to last Saturday?
Yeah, you know, it did take some of the air out of our sails, you know, and, you know, we fought back, you know, but at some point in time, you know, it can't be, you know, as I mean, we can't just rely on the last five, six minutes of the game. You know, I think the last 6.5 minutes, we went on an 18-4 run to take the lead. And I thought there were some critical possessions there at the end. Once we took the lead, we got a stop. You know, we came down. I thought we kind of settled for a three instead of trying to get to the rim. Obviously missed it. They got the basketball, came down, and his name, Lucosius, I guess, you know, makes a, right. A tough three. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. But he makes a tough three. And, you know, and then we don't even get a shot off, you know, to tie the game, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's a turnover. But, you know, we had way too many turnovers in that game, you know, and we look at 19 and some of our key guys with Cam Carter and Kaluma both having six. You know, when I saw that, I actually had to go back and look at some of my stats. I was like, well, how many turnovers did I used to have in a game? And, you know, I looked at it and I had two games, I think, in my 4-year career where I had six, you know, and so I didn't look at kind of where they were at with six, but I'm sure, you know, that doesn't happen very often. And so it's unfortunate that's the time that we end up having so many turnovers. You know, but, you know, other than that, you know, we made free throws that game, which is really good. You know, and we were right there on the road, but it was a big game. And at the end of the day, you win or you lose, you know, right? I mean, the committee's not gonna say, oh, you lost to Cincinnati by two. It's like you lost the game, you know? And so at the end of the day, it's a loss. And obviously it hurts us in the big time when it comes to the selection committee.
Those two games, I assume you lost, or did you guys come out on top when you had six turnovers?
You know what? I have to go back and look and see. I was just
focused on the
skimming through
it.
The stats on whether.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got
that was it. So
I'd be willing to bet you lost, but who knows? Maybe you guys were able to overcome it. But turning the ball over, and especially in the Big 12, it's tough to overcome. So we'll take a quick break here on the Friday Shooter. I'll be right back after a quick message. Well, we're not going to have the Booth Creek message. That's later on, guys. I'm so sorry. We're just going to have a generic break here on the Friday Shooter Round.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
All right, Clint, we've got one more game, of course, Iowa State on Saturday, and then off to Kansas City. We can kind of touch on what this next week looks like. You know, I was joking with you here before the show, my Taco Lucha bartending schedule. I was like, guys, I don't know how long I'm going to be gone. It happens every year when it's time to go to Kansas City, but it could be a one day trip, or we could be there for 3-4 days if the team gets hot and catches fire. Also, we're sponsored by Booth Creek Wagyu. Always check them out whenever you got a moment. But Iowa State, let's just start there, Clint. I mean, this is – I asked the players on Thursday when we were talking with them before the game, regardless of, you know, this game doesn't necessarily mean much, but – it's a senior night, but you also have a chance to improve that resume if you can get hot going into Kansas City. But, you know, not just with the resume, but the momentum that you can get, right? If you get hot the right time, you know, who knows, crazier things have happened, but it all starts on Saturday against Iowa State.
Yeah, it does. And they're a tough opponent. You know, they've won 8 out of their last 9 games. That only loss was against Houston at Houston, you know. And so they've been playing really well. And obviously they're going to come in with a lot of confidence. You know, I think they're number six in the nation right now. And so it's going to be a tough game, you know, but some of the advantages I think that we can hopefully, take advantage of is, they're plus two in the rebound margin, which is actually about where we're at as well. But that tells you they don't rebound the basketball particularly well. And so, I know Coach Tang was obviously upset with us only getting two offensive rebounds against KU. You know, that might be an area that we can really crash the glass, you know, against them and then get some second chance opportunities. But that starts with us taking care of the basketball to actually get the shot up on the rim, right? I mean, we got to take care of the basketball first and foremost. You know, they shoot 35% from three, which is a good percentage, you know, for a college team. But I still think, you know, they only make six a game threes. And so, you might see us zone a little bit and try to take them out of rhythm. And obviously force them into some tough shots, you know. But as I mentioned with Cam Carter, we need him getting to the free throw line. You know, I think he needs to get there 6 to 8 times in this game, especially how aggressive Iowa State is. I thought he had several turnovers in our previous game against them. And so he's going to have to play better, take care of the basketball and get to the free throw line because that can help get him going. If he can get going, I think we'll play better than what we have.
Clint, I don't know if you can hear that. It's garbage day here in my Aggieville area. So I apologize if anybody hears the dumpsters are banging. It's super loud. But you look back to the Iowa State game in Ames earlier in the year. It got a little chippy, right? You know, the whole Spygate with the phone and all that, you know, spying on the huddle. That game lasted like 2.5 hours because of all the whistles. Is that going to give K-State maybe an extra added reason to come out with a chip on its shoulder after the way things went in Ames?
Well, I think it's, I don't know if we need any extra added reason to go get this game, but, it's definitely something that you don't forget, right? And as a player, we realized we didn't play, maybe our best game there. You know, like I said, had quite a few turnovers and, you got to come back and hopefully I don't want to say get revenge, but you definitely want to come back and redeem yourself against a really good opponent and at home. And hopefully we'll have a really good crowd with it being senior night and with it being a really good opponent. And so you got to come out with that chip on your shoulder of, hey, we need this game, right? They don't need this game. We have to have it. And, if you come out with that kind of attitude and that kind of mindset, and same thing that happened, BYU against BYU at home, we jumped on them early. I think it'll be big for us to get out and jump on them early, and then we can, play well down the stretch.
I feel bad we didn't mention this earlier on, but the three freshmen, RJ Jones, Day-Day Ames, Michaela Bridge, all got meaningful minutes, and I think they played fine. And I think that this could be a nice building block for them, obviously moving on into the future, but just for this game coming up against Iowa State, we kind of outlined the struggles with Cam Carter. Tyler Perry was unable to get going because he was being honed in on. I think all three of the true freshmen were solid. I'm not going to say they were tremendous or anything like that in Lawrence, but this could be something that they can start to build off of here towards the end of the season.
Yeah, it can be. And RJ Jones, he shot the ball well, went 3 for 5 from three in Lawrence. And, I think Day-Day Ames has played well really all season and kind of picking his spots. And he can get pretty aggressive and driving the basketball and giving us another advantage in that space. So, Michaela Bridge, as we see, he's a freak athlete, man. And, when you have that much athleticism, you can make some things happen on the court. So it was good to see them, perform well in that type of environment and that type of game. Their first time playing in Lawrence, and that can only give them confidence here, coming back at home against Iowa State, but it's all about opportunity, the opportunity when they get that opportunity, being able to step up and do what they do and play well, which gives the coaches even more confidence in them to keep them in the basketball game. So I'd like to see, like I said, Day-Day, I think he could play even more minutes, I think, than what he's been playing, just because I think he does bring a good element to us, but there's going to be ebbs and flows of that, and so hopefully they all keep their heads up and just ready to contribute, as much as they can when their number's called.
Another thing that K-State can kind of build off of was 11 turnovers against Kansas. If you have 11 turnovers against Iowa State coming up on Saturday, you're going to have a good chance to win regardless of whatever else happens.
Well, yeah. So let's talk about turnovers. So it's a couple things, right? One is we've only forced 6 turnovers in each of our last 3 games. When you look at KU, Cincinnati, and West Virginia, right? So in the last three games, we forced 18 total turnovers. And if you look at how many turnovers that we've had in the last three games, we've had 45, right? And so I think that's a big disparity for us. So we have to take care of the basketball. We know that's really big. And, you know, if you even look back over the entire season of the Big 12, Big 12 regular season, we haven't won the turnover battle since our very first game against UCF, and we won it 13-12, you know, and then since then we've either lost the turnover battle or we've tied. And so, you know, it's a big deal, you know, and that's one of the things that, you know, it tells us that one, we're turning the basketball over too much. Two, we're not forcing turnovers. And so if we're giving extra possessions to the other team and then we're not getting extra possessions, I mean, that's not a good combination. And so we have to do a better job, continue to take care of the basketball. You know, the 11 against KU, I think that's a fantastic number for us. But I think also our defense needs to create some turnovers and make the offense easier, right? We get out in transition and get some easy buckets. That's where Cam Carter is at his best, you know. But if he can't get out in transition, he's going against a set defense every single time. It becomes tough as a player, you know. It becomes tough for Tyler Perry. Like, we have to get out in transition, and that starts with creating some turnovers on our own. And hopefully, we can do that against Iowa State.
That's good perspective. I mean, everybody knows about the turnovers that this team commits, but they have had one game, and it was the very first one of conference play where they have not lost a turnover battle. I mean, that's just, I think the easiest way, you mentioned getting out in transition, obviously, but also getting to the offensive glass, right? Creating that extra possession that doesn't necessarily show up at all anywhere on the turnover stats. But if you grab offensive rebounds, that's, I don't want to say it's an opponent creating a turnover, but you're stealing the ball, you're stealing a possession away. So getting to the free throw line, you mentioned it, getting out in transition, offensive rebounds, even if you do have 19 turnovers against Iowa State, there's still ways you can make up for that.
Yeah, there is. And I think rebounding is obviously a key. And we talked about, we think we could take advantage because Iowa State doesn't, you know, rebound the ball, you know, really well. And so if our big guys, if Colbert and McNair and Kaluma and even Carter get in there and get some offensive rebounds and second chance opportunities, then that means we don't have to shoot it at such a high clip to win the basketball game. So I'll tell you, if we limit our turnovers, plus we win the offensive rebound battle, we will win the game. I mean, it's that simple. We'll get enough possessions to win the basketball game. And so I think those are two keys, and you can bank it. I'm telling you, right, if we win the turnover battle and we get more offensive rebounds than Iowa State and we lose the game, then I will film myself going and doing, you know, I don't know, 350 push-ups in a row until I pass out or something, and people can laugh. I like, we will win the game if we do that.
You got to give me your Phillips 66 quarter zip, okay?
There it is.
He does not win.
There it is.
Let's switch gears here to Kansas City. We don't know what day K-State's going to play. We don't know who the first opponent is going to be. So it's kind of tough to break down specifics and matchups and stuff like that. But again, if you want to get hot and go to the NCAA tournament, it starts on Saturday against Iowa State. If you can get that win, then you create maybe a situation where you can get the committee in a tough spot if you win a few games. So just, you know, playing in Kansas City, it's like you said, right? It's an 0-0, everybody. It's a new season for all these guys. And so this is a time to get hot when you're in KC.
Yeah, it is, you know, and if you look at, you know, any team in the Big 12, and we played with all of them, right? And other than Houston, and we only had one chance to play them. And so, you know, whether we won the game or not, you know, we split with a couple teams. You know, we've been right there with several others. You know, I don't know exactly, like I said, where we'll fall. It all depends upon this last week. But I was looking, I think, earlier this week, and it might have been like BYU first round or something, you know. But we'll see how everything shakes out, you know. But we know we can go in and win a few, you know. And so, but we got to play well, and we got to take care of the basketball. We got to make free throws. You know, one of the things that we didn't talk about against, you know, KU is we went 10 for 21 from the free throw line. And that's, you know, an anomaly, especially after going 21 for 25 against Cincinnati. And one of those key guys that gets to the free throw line because of his activity is Gasan, you know, and Gasan went 0 for 5. And I had to look it back up, but he's only shooting, you know, 42% from the free throw line. So I'm hoping he's getting some extra shots up today so he can make some free throws for us tomorrow and obviously into the Big 12 tournament as well, because we need him getting those extra points for us when he can.
You'll be up in KC, right? Are you going to be just a fan, or are you going to be a little special coach for this team and give them some help? Or you could come on and get the sneakers on and go play for them.
Hey, you know, turnovers. if I could sub in, you know, at this point in my life and this age, I probably would have 6 turnovers. but you know, if I could sneak in and you know, put on a wig or something and change, you know, my looks, they don't know who it is, and like, oh, they got a new walk on, then I would obviously do it. But I'll be there, and I'll be obviously supporting the team for a few days. And like I said, looking forward to watching us hopefully play well and get some wins. And you know, then like I said, we put the committee hopefully at a tough decision to make.
You went out real quick. You were in Wichita, right? Was that Friday for David's senior night?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. How'd that go, man?
Went well. You know, David, he played really well. It was actually his first game back. He was a little banged up with his ankle injury. And so he came back out as a senior night. And I think he scored 29 points out of their 60 plus. So he had about half of their points. But he controlled the game, played tough defensively. You know, he's gotten so much stronger over this last year. And I actually told him after the game, as you know, we kind of have a joke around, you know, the program about being a first team defender. And we always talk about having that first team mentality and holding up our ones. And he's never been a first team defender. But now watching him at Sunrise and what he's doing, I was like, you might be moving up to a first team defender, you know. And so it was good to see him playing so hard. And it's the first time I got to see him live. You know, I've been watching him streamed, but first time seeing him live. And he's ready. He's excited about Kansas State. He's ready to get up there in the summer and, you know, start learning as much as he can and contributing right away.
Future of K-State basketball is bright with a 4-star point guard. Coma point guard, right? There's more combo guard. What would you classify?
You know, he's a point guard that can shoot the basketball.
Yeah. Right. We'll see what they do with him here in Manhattan. But Quinn, as always, man, appreciate your time. Hopefully we're not doing a show on Friday next week, because that would mean K-State's probably still playing, right? And then we'd have to push it back to Saturday. So if this team can get hot, we'll talk to you regardless next time here on the Shoot Around. But Quinn, I appreciate it. As always, travel safely to Kansas City. You're going to fill up with 66, right?
That's right. That's right. We'll fill up with that gas. Yes.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon, man. As always, we appreciate it. We appreciate all you guys tuning in. If you're watching once again on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff helps us grow. Also, the Big 12 Insiders, go over, check out that channel. I'm sure you're familiar with that if you've been watching all the videos from Fitz, but help those guys out, get them to 1,000 subscribers, and so they can start doing some live streams for that show. But Quint, we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, thanks.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.